I'd like us to look at a text of Scripture, which is verses 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 13. I've entitled my sermon tonight, Fear That Forfeits Christ. There is a man that I look to quite a bit, and I've got most of his books in my study at home, C.I. Schofield. He rightly described the events in Matthew chapters 14 to chapter 23 as the ministry of the rejected king. That is a really good summary, because Christ has been rejected by his people, yet with his disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples continue to preach the kingdom, though they have been rejected. You see, that is a practical outworking of what Jesus taught his disciples in those parables in Matthew chapter 13. That in between the two comings, the first coming of Christ as a babe in a manger, growing to be a man, yet without sin, willingly going to the cross, laying down his life that we might have life, and then having been slain at the cross, placed into a borrowed tomb, the Lord God has raised his son from the dead, and the tomb is empty. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal Savior, is risen, and he is ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he makes intercession for us. And in between that time of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and his second coming, which will be physically upon the earth at the end of the tribulation period, where he ushers in a 1,000-year reign upon the earth, where he rules from the temple in Jerusalem, seated on the throne of David, as he promised that would happen. In between those two times, there is a time which he wanted his disciples to understand. You will sow the word, you will preach the word, but few will believe. In fact, on a ratio 3 to 1, there is a good chance that 3/4 of whom you preach and teach and show their absolute need of turning and saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will reject that truth. But there is that one who will trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. During the early part of this period, as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches his disciples what the time in between his two comings is going to be like for his disciples, and remember, that is the hold a fear. What would my wife think if I had to say to her, I am a dirty, rotten sinner? What would she think of me? What would my children think of me? Because they were of an understanding age. It is a troubling thing. But just as I had been confronted with the living word, so too had Herod the Tetrarch been confronted with the living word. Instead of hurrying to Jesus, he feared. You see, there's something that I love to remind us about. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I want to put to us, my friends, we have been perfectly loved by God himself, who died in our stead and now is risen and lives for us and intercedes for us and is coming again for us. We have been perfectly loved. Therefore, there is no fear. Why would we fear? Yet that was not the case of Herod the Tetrarch. Now let's look at the reason for him rejecting Christ. We've seen Herod's rejection of Christ, but let's look at the reason. That's for us in verses 3 through 11. In verse 3 we read, "For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip." Now let me stop for a moment here. What's happening here is we are going back in time. This is now Matthew giving us the history behind the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been, he's been slaughtered in just the past few days. But we need to be given the information as to what has led up to his death. And so sometime before this event of John the Baptist being slaughtered, we come face to face with the history behind it. You see, these verses, as it were, verses 3 through 11, are a flashback to something that had occurred around about the time that Jesus actually started his ministry. So, if you want to hold me to something, I would say this is about 2 years ago before this time. The Lord Jesus Christ has now been ministering for about 2 years. And John the Baptist was arrested very, very shortly after him baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. But I love the way we begin to understand something. "For when Herod had John arrested and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip." That's an important statement. You see, Herod the Tetrarch was living with his sister-in-law, who was actually the wife of his half-brother, Herod Philip. Herod Philip, remember, was the one who was given territory by the Romans in the northern part of Israel, in fact, more into modern-day Syria and Lebanon. And so what we have here is we have a situation. This is adultery. This is incest. This is not right. John had been... And verse 8, obviously we see there has been a plot here between mother and daughter. "Having been prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist.'" So Herodias was livid with John the Baptist because he continued to lay blame and accuse Herod of sin, as well as Herodias of sin, and rightly so. Now look what happens, verse 9. "Although he was grieved," he didn't want this to really happen, "although he was grieved, the king commanded it." Why? Because of his oaths. That speaks of he feared for his throne. How would he fear for his throne? Because he had just made a statement in front of a whole bevy of the elite, of those who ruled alongside him, and he would lose great face if he now rescinded that oath. So that's another fear. We have seen, firstly, the fear of the people out there. Now we see a fear of the people who are watching him and who rule alongside him, albeit at his behest. But now look, something else. He was grieved, and he commanded it be given because of his oaths, that's his throne, and because of his dinner guests. There's something else that is not written into the scriptures. But you have to understand, John was slaughtered by Herod the Tetrarch. Herod wanted him taken off the scene, but he feared the people. Guess what? He feared his wife Herodias more than the people out there. You see, this is a man, if I could put it this way, he feared everyone and everything except the Lord. So what happens? He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, verse 10, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. You see, there's a problem when fear takes hold. When we are more concerned about what people will think than what the Lord has said, or what He has brought a conviction to our own lives on, when we are more fearful of what it is to follow the Lord than actually follow people, then that's the right path. Because to follow the Lord is that which is in always intended. But if I'm going to set that aside now because I'm fearing people and I follow the people and their opinion and I'm seeking to cast into hell, yes, I tell you, fear Him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to teach His disciples. There will be people who will go at you with vehemence, with hate, but remain faithful. The Lord knows everything. Not a sparrow is going to fall to the ground unless He knows it. The hairs on your head are numbered. So whatever man can do, don't be alarmed at that. Don't be overcome with fear. Don't be overcome with fear that they will reject you. Don't be overcome with fear that you will lose favor. Because yes, you might lose favor with man, but you'll never lose favor with the Lord. You see, Herod rejected Christ because of the fear of a woman. Herod rejected Christ because of the fear of his reputation being lost. Herod rejected Christ because of a fear that his peers would think he was a coward and not a man of his word. Herod rejected Christ because of a fear of his throne. And also, because of his lack of fear of God, he damned his soul forever. You see, God's called us to fear Him, which is not a cowering fear, but a reverential awe. He is the one who is the author of life. He is the one who holds the keys to Hades, to hell, and to heaven. He's the one who can open doors and no one can close them. He's the one who can close doors and no one can open them. So, He is the sovereign Lord over life and over death, and He is the one who is the only true potentate, the King who rules. So may it be that our fear of Him would be that reverential awe. And may it be that we would be a people, regardless of what the world would say, we would go forth and live out the faith and testimony to which we have been delivered, always abounding about in the work and in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for, through the illustration of Herod the Tetrarch, we have come to see that it is a fear of man that forfeits Christ. And we want to ask, Lord, that You would help us as we go forth, that we would not be fearful of You with that cowering fear. Yes, that we would be fearful of You with a reverential awe. For You are our God. You are our Savior. By Your grace and mercy, we are the sheep of Your pasture, and You are our great Shepherd. And may it be that we would have people truly understand that we ought to rather have that reverential awe of You than a fear of what men will think and say when they turn in saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank You for going before us. Thank You for making straight our path. Now help us to be a people who live for You. And I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, I invite you to please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 439. As we sing this closing hymn. Now, I know that the history of this hymn is something other than what I'm going to share with you, but it is recorded for us. I don't know how true it is, but it's in secular history, that at the sinking of the Titanic, the string quartet played this hymn on the deck of that vessel as it broke apart and as it slipped into the icy waters of the North Atlantic. These were people who perhaps knew the Lord. They had no fear of meeting with him. And I pray that that would be our heart as we rise this evening and close our time of worship with hymn number 439, Nearer, My God, to Thee. Let us stand.